just want to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. And so if you do not love Jesus, be very quiet right now. Well, sound like I'm in the right place. Amen. I just want to, first of all, just thank everyone for this wonderful opportunity to be here, and for the elders of the church for their love for you to invite someone in to come in and share a word. I believe that the word today is an in-season word, a word that will transform lives. And so, first of all, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be here in your presence to love on you this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and say, can I get a little bit of love? All right, give them some love next to you. Amen? Amen. You know, when it boils down to, it's all about love. Somebody says it's all about love. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and know God. He that love not, know not God, for God is love. And so if we can't come together and love one another, amen, and have a little compassion for one another, then that's a challenge, and we want to break that. I want to let you know that I need something from you this morning, and what I need is for about 20 minutes where you step into the realm of belief, where you step into the place of miracles for about 20 minutes, that you're not just a Christian in here today, but you're a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all I need for about 20 minutes, because I believe that there's some people in here that really need a miracle this morning, that need something to happen. Amen. So we could have church as usual, but it's not church as usual because you have a guest here, right? Amen. And you and we can have just come in and oh, it was a nice service. Or we can walk out skipping and celebrating because God gave us the miracle that we needed today. Which one do you rather be? The miracle, right? Amen. So look at the person next to you and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get my miracle this morning. Amen. Because I know that there's no reason why I could preach all around the world and see people get miracles and then come to this beautiful church right here and not see miracles happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. You're waiting on a miracle, right, brother? Amen. Amen. Well, guess what? Today is the day of miracles. Amen. Today is the day of miracles. Amen. And so I just want to do this as we go forward. I want to give this book, and I'll sign it for you, brother. I want to give it to you as you step out and launch to do the thing that you do. This is Principles and Promises of Love. It's every scripture on love in the Bible. Amen. But it's broken up into life in terms of there's different categories in every category where scripture of love falls. It's in here. So I want to bless you with this. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Amen. And I just want to say that, you know, Jesus Christ, he's the tree of life, you know, and we can, we are the branches. Amen. So I always say, what are you? Are you a branch, a leaf, or a fruit? I want you to catch this, because, you know, this church, amen, has come together to represent Christ. Amen. The body of Christ. Amen? 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 Amen. So then you can be a branch or your leaf, and the leaf falls. We just got finished blowing up a bunch of leaves. You just blow them, you know, use them as compost, you know. They serve a purpose, you know, but you know, they can even provide a little shade, you know, here and there. But I don't want to be a leaf. Or you could be a fruit. Fruit are cool because they have seed and they can produce other trees. You know what I mean? But that fruit falls to the ground, and what does it do? It just dies, just rot. But a tree can stand for thousands of years. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the branches of that tree will last. But a branch cut off is a stick. I don't want to be a stick. So I'm saying that to you as a word from the Lord, because he gave it to me when we stand here. Stay connected. Even though you're launching out to do what you need to do, do you hear me? Amen. Stay connected to this body. Amen. Amen? Stay connected. Now, whatever that means in terms of connection, you make sure that happens. Amen? Because you don't want to be a stick out there. Because, when you know, I've seen sticks. Sticks just run around cracking folks. You know, just cracking folks. You know, because when you become a stick, you lose some of the compassion and some of what God has through that connection. Do you understand? So don't be a stick. And don't be, you know, fruit, like fruit are fine, but I want to be a branch. Amen? Let me be a branch, because a branch can produce a whole lot of fruit. The fruit are all those folks you're going to save out there. Amen? Hallelujah. So give the Lord a great big hand praise for our brother as he established himself as a branch to the ministry. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So God has a word for us this morning, and I believe that is going to be something that will bring a miracle to each and every one of our lives. I just need to get this. I shared this last night, and I just feel compelled to share it again. How many of you know that, I hope the mics still pick me up a little bit. How many of you know that when you function in God, you need to see things differently? Anybody got that?
Yeah.
Is that an addiction or what? I'm still warming up the crowd. Amen. So because I need them to raise their expectations, so when I introduce her, they see who she is. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise. Plus, she was getting set up. I was trying to wait till she gets set up. All right, there we go. So I need someone that's brave to tell me the contents. How much is in this bottle, the content? Huh? Somebody say it. How much?
It's full.
Amen. Tell me about that. Tell me about it. Amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. Because let me tell you, a whole lot of people get that one wrong. Last night, we were in a meeting, and somebody said, well, half empty, somebody half full. But it's full. It's half full of water and half full of air. And the part you don't see is more important than the part you do see. Because the part you see, you can live for a few days without it. But the part you don't see, you can only live for a few seconds. This morning, I want to emphasize something very strongly to you. And what I want to emphasize is that this morning, I need you to see the whole picture. Because if you can see the whole picture, you're going to grab hold of the miracle that's for you today. Today, we're going to unwrap the very miracles that you've been waiting on. Amen? Hallelujah. There's something that each and every one of us, we've been waiting on, we've been praying for. How many of you have been praying for something? And if you're not praying for it for yourself, you're praying for it for someone else, your children, your mother, your father, your cousins, your aunts, your grandparents, someone, a friend. If you're not praying for yourself, you're praying for someone else. You're believing for something. Every believer should be believing for something. Amen. Somebody, I remember somebody asked someone once, hey, do you want to be blessed with $1 million? The person said, no, I'm good. I'm good. I say, oh, that's very selfish. Why? Because you need to be blessed with $1 million. Because if you don't need it, amen, somebody around you do. Amen. And unless you're just giving out millions to everybody else already, and even if you were, you still need that other million to give it out to someone else. Somebody say amen. So God is calling us to expand our expectation, expand who we are in Him. This morning, amen, I thank God for each and every one of you, and I give God the glory for this time and opportunity. I thank God for my wonderful wife right here, amen, Danielle. Her first name, people get it wrong, so she goes by her middle name. I'm actually A. Michael Shaw. I go by my middle name. But her first name is Fabion. Fabion. Pretty name, right? But people mess it up. So she just goes by Danielle. So I want to introduce you to Danielle. Amen. My wonderful wife. Amen. My ride or die. And amen. Hallelujah. So what you see her doing right here, and we're a team, we're partners, we're tag team. Amen. What you see her doing right now is setting up, because she does prophetic art. And so she usually tries to do a picture during the service. If it's not completed during the service, she'll send it back to the church. But as the Lord leads her, amen, and she experienced Holy Spirit, and he guides her. She will do a piece of art for this church. Amen? Give the Lord a great big hand praise. Amen? Hallelujah. So, thank God. You want to say anything?
Thank you all for being here. We feel so blessed to be here. We love each and every one of you. And God loves each and every one of you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know some of y'all want her to preach instead of me, but y'all not getting that right now. Amen. I thank God for the pastors here. Give the Lord a hand praise for all of the pastors. Amen. Amen. You all are beautiful. Amen. And it's a pleasure to be here. So we're going to rapid fire into this word, and I believe it's going to really be a blessing. I tell you, and I want to also say that I need you to see past anything that would bother you. Amen. So, like, if my suit bothers you, look past it because you're trying to see Jesus. Amen? I mean, because, you know, I could be in jeans right now. I could be in a T-shirt. I could be in my shorts. You know what I mean? I preach in all of that. But it was the first Sunday, and I heard that. Except a couple of the pastors do wear ties. And I said, you know what? And I said, well, I'm not going to wear a tie. I brought my ties. Actually, I have a tie that was given to me many years ago by Rodney. Amen. And I started to wear it this morning, but I said, oh, it's okay. First Sunday communion, I said, I'm gonna go ahead and put my suit on. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? So y'all can hear from a preacher in a suit. You know, because things have shifted, things change. You know, I mean, because before you wore a suit, and if you didn't come in a suit to church, you know, if you didn't come dressed in your Sunday best, it was a problem. How many remember those days? Amen? But then it shifted during revival. You know, I saw it shifting somewhere around up in the early 90s. It started shifting, you know, and then everybody started wearing jeans and stuff like that, and preachers putting on their skinny jeans and everything. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amen? Huh? And then it became religious to wear a suit. Right? It became religious to wear a suit. And so you walk in with a suit and the preacher in the skinny jeans looking, oh, he's kind of religious. He's wearing a suit. You know? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And so what we do though in Christendom is we make stuff up as we go sometimes. Amen. And, you know, and so now you can't catch the Holy Ghost because you're in a suit. And before you couldn't catch the Holy Ghost because you was in jeans. The devil is a lie. Somebody say amen. So we break all that religious stuff, and right now we're going to celebrate Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you all about Malchus. Anybody know who that is in the Bible? Malchus. Yesterday I talked about Rhoda. Rhoda is a young lady who was a little damsel who opened the door for Peter while doing a prayer meeting. And, it's ironic because the Lord have me preaching about Malchus today. And you were in a meeting last night, so you say, well, who is Malchus? You know? Yeah, anybody ever heard of Malchus? No. Yeah? That's good, brother. That's good. Malchus, I'm going to go ahead and read this scripture. And first of all, I just want to say to each and every one of you that Jesus is with you. Jesus is Lord. Amen?
So we're going to have a great service.
I want to, first of all, let each and every one of you know that as we come today, can I take this jacket off?
I didn't want to take it off. For dramatic effect.
It was just for dramatic effect. All right. So when you go to the Gospels,
amen. So I'm really radical. Right here. I thought it was. Don't worry about it. That's okay. Yeah, right.
She had it. My wife had my glasses over here on the floor.
Oh.
Man, come on, you gotta represent. These are new people, they don't know us. John didn't stop. Oh, she stole his glass. She was hiding. She didn't want him to preach. That was something else. All right. So I hope y'all don't mind that I am not the most, religious person running around. But I will tell you, I am very annoying. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so I want to bring it to a place because I believe that this message today is going to really free some people up and bless some people. Hallelujah. So go with me. Go to the book of John. What is it?
18:10.
Amen. He already found now. John, 18th chapter. Amen. And we're at verse 10. I want to read this a little before that. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asked the disciples to pray for him. They fall asleep three times while he's praying. This is the night before he is, this is the night that he is taken. Oh, we lose the mic.
This is the night that he is taken. And he is, hallelujah, in prison. This is the night where he makes the transition to prepare himself for the crucifixion. And it's a very serious night because it's a night that Jesus himself has to battle. And I'm going to explain that in just a moment. And because the people around Jesus did not totally comprehend what was going to take place, even though he told them directly, they shifted, and they shifted in the wrong direction. Now watch this. But somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Because he was able to shift them back to the right place. So in the book of John, chapter 18, it says this. Verse number 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. We're talking about soldiers, Roman soldiers. Anybody ever see those movies, Gladiator, some of those things? We're talking about tough guys, all right? We're talking about tough guys. And they fell to the ground because of the anointing and power upon Jesus. Now, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Talking about the disciple, let them go. Just deal with me. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. And then, verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Everybody get that? So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Remember, he had just prayed, Lord, if this cup could pass, let it. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, it's thy will. Everybody say, nevertheless, not my will, thy will. And so now he's talking about that same cup. And then the detachment of the troops and the captain and the officers and the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him, and they led him away. Now, one of the things I want to emphasize is that this is one of the, Jesus, as you know, in other Gospels, he actually heals the Malchus ear. He puts the ear back on. Everybody got that? And so this is like the last miracle before Jesus is crucified. You get that? Now, if you're going to do one last miracle before you crucify, it should be significant, right? So then we need to pay attention to this miracle and what happened with Jesus. Because this miracle was literally a paradigm shift taking place and a shifting that took place with the disciples. Peter, we know that Peter is this guy who is always ready to run with Jesus. We see him throughout the gospel, right? We see Peter is the one who's always ready. He's always ready to go. He, matter of fact, he heard from God. We know that Peter, when Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter was the one who got the answer right. Is that correct? So many times we as Christians, we will get the answers right on the written test, but the practical test, sometimes we fail. Do you get this? Because Peter, Jesus said, who do they say I am? And some said, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that. And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail, right? But the thing is that Peter, even though he got that answer right, he knows who Jesus is. He's seen the miracles. Do you understand? The disciples have seen him walk on water. Who walked on water? Peter. Peter walked on water with Jesus. Somebody say amen. Literally, he's the only one who got out of the boat and walked on water. Even though the Bible says he began to sink after a while, he walked on water. There's no one else other than Jesus and Peter who we know in existence who walked on water. So Peter's just not any other guy. He is that guy. He's the one who's ready to rock and roll with Jesus. He's his ride or die. He's carrying a sword for a reason. Why do Jesus have people carrying swords? The same reason some of y'all have guns in here. So the reality is that Peter is someone who's ready to die at a moment for Jesus. He pulls out his sword and there's Roman soldiers. They're strong. They're armored. They have weapons. They've been trained to fight. They're brutes. And Peter pulls out his sword and the high priest, his servant, is right there. And Peter swings and cuts the ear off. He's ready to draw blood. He drew first blood. Do you hear me? He drew first blood, Peter. And Jesus said, stop. He looked at Peter and rebuked him. Peter had the mindset that he was ready to die for Jesus. His mindset was, I'm ready to die. I'm going to fight these soldiers. I'm fighting everyone. But it is the same Peter who a few verses later is denying Jesus to little girls. When they say, weren't you with Jesus? He's like, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. Three times he denied Jesus. Why? Because there was a shift. See, as long as Jesus fit in the box of his mind of who he thought Jesus was, he was ready to die. But when Jesus switched gears and allowed himself to be taken, he could not understand that. And Jesus basically broke the model of who he was in Peter's mind. Because in Peter's mind, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is he's the Son of God. He can walk on water. He can feed the multitudes. He can cause the blind to see, the lepers to be healed. He can do all of these miracles. I know he can take down this army. I've read the Bible. He said, well, I know the old scriptures and how Moses parted the Red Sea, but Jesus stilled the storm. Jesus is stronger than Moses. This is the man. This is the one. And I'm ready to fight and die for him. But when Jesus changed in his mind by allowing the soldiers to take him. And let me tell you, when those soldiers took Jesus, you know, the persecution started right there. I don't think it was a gentle thing. Do you hear me? They were brutes. I don't think it was a gentle thing. And every devil in hell was anxious to rip at Jesus' flesh. Do you hear me? And they were motivating and moving upon those men and upon the Pharisees and Sadducees who were present. They were moving on those people and they were influencing them to be an angry mob from the beginning. And so now Peter's looking at this. And so Peter runs off. Peter runs off and he doesn't know what to do at this point. He has no clue as to what to do. He's in his mind, he can't figure it out. Why would he let them take him? What's going on? What's going on with my master? They're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him. What's going on? Why would he let me fight? I was ready to fight and die for him. But are you willing to obey and live for him? See, some of us are ready to fight and die for Jesus, but are you willing to obey and live for him? Do you hear me? Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's easier to fight and die than it is to obey and live. Do you hear me? And so how does this man go from being someone who was willing to draw blood to now someone, when a little girl walks up to him, he's frightened? And no, I don't know. I don't know this guy, Jesus. I don't know him. So today I petition you, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? You know, we are Christians. I believe most of us in here, maybe all of us. We are Christians. But do you know, there is a difference in a shifting when you move from being a Christian to a full-fledged believer. Do you hear me? It is time for you to shift. The disciples shifted on the day of Pentecost. Actually, they began to shift when Jesus returned and walked amongst them when the tomb was empty. They began to shift. All right? But they needed a full shift, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? You have the power of the Holy Spirit right now to shift into being that incredible believer that God has called you to be. Amen? We're in a different dispensation, a different time frame, a different place in God, and we are empowered by him. Amen? And so God, it is great to be a Christian that will get us to heaven. But it's greater to be a full-fledged believer, because that will bring heaven to earth. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so you need to determine in your mind, what are you comfortable with? Am I just comfortable to get myself into heaven, or am I willing to be enough of a believer to bring heaven to earth? Amen. Hallelujah. To allow heaven to move through me, to allow God to move through me. See, revival does not start out there. Revival starts in here. And mass revival is when enough people who have enough belief inside of them and enough expectation of who God is inside of them, that when they get together, that there's a fire that begins to shoot up. And then the next thing you know, there is mass revival and people come in because they're entering the atmosphere of heaven. Because you created it by allowing yourself to believe that God is God everywhere, especially right here, especially in me, especially now. So God is calling you to move from your place of comfort, to multiply yourself as a believer. See, let me say this. Your job is to multiply believers. The first step of believing is to become a Christian. Do you know how much faith that takes? Huh? No. A mustard seed moves mountains. It takes less than a mustard seed. Y'all need to hear this. Because mustard seed faith, we can speak right now and these walls fall down. Mustard seed faith caused the walls of Jericho to come down with a toot of a horn. Mustard seed faith parted the Red Sea. Mustard seed faith, hallelujah, moves mountains. I'm talking about just enough faith that will cause, hallelujah, that healing to take place that you need right now. The healing that you're waiting on to manifest right now. There is something you need. There is a miracle you need. And it doesn't even take mustard seed faith. Do you know how small a mustard seed is? It's one of the lowliest looking seeds, but it will multiply. But I'm telling you that less than a mustard seed is needed for the miracle that most of us are waiting on right now. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And so God wants to bring that miracle right now. You can have your healing this moment. You can have your financial miracle this moment. You can have that reconciliation and that relationship right now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is up to you to decide that I today will move from just being a nominal Christian to move to the place of belief, to move to the place where God is bigger than my problem. And when God is bigger than your problem will not exist anymore. This is the place that we need to move to. This is the place that we must get to. Hallelujah. 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 There is enough faith in here right now to bust this church at the seams. Hallelujah. This woman right here has enough faith. Hallelujah. She'll move every obstacle out of the way. Hallelujah. So that the floodgates of heaven will pour out into this place and bring the magnificence of Almighty God in this place and the manifestation of holy in this place in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, you have it in you. And now it's time for you to manifest it through you. God is saying to you, move out of your comfort zone. Accept me for who I am. I am. I am. But some of us are walking like Peter walked when Jesus was arrested. What do you mean? What do you mean? I mean that you've had some disappointments and God didn't move the way you thought he would. And so you lowered your expectation. You lowered your belief in the miracle. You believe in miracles. You believe that a miracle can happen. You believe that a miracle can happen someday. But I'm letting you know right now that the same Jesus who was taken by the soldiers was the same Jesus who healed the multitudes. He's the same Jesus who climbed up out of the borrowed tomb of Joseph Arimathea and walked out of that place. Amen. He was the same one who ascended to heaven. He was the same one. Same Jesus. See, Jesus hasn't changed. Who we think him to be sometimes has. And the reason why it's because God does stuff different than the way we do it. And when we hold God accountable to do it the way we think it should be done, we miss God and then we lower our expectations of God because he didn't do it the way we thought he should do it. But when we expand our understanding and see the Bible not half empty nor half full, half empty is man's negative perception of things. Man tried to rise with a positive expectation And, you know, we call it positive thinking. And so they'll say it's half full. But the God perspective sees bigger than that. It sees that the bottle is full all the time. There is nothing lacking that you need. The only thing that needs to change is your perception of it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And so when we change how we see, we change the outcome. As a man thinketh, so is he. We change the outcome. We need to change how we see things. We need to not see things as half empty, half full. We not to see things evil or good. What are you saying? Watch this. I started to hit on it last night and I stepped off of it. First of all, there was a tree in the garden, right? I'm bringing it somewhere, and I'm going to pray for folks if you want prayer. But there was a tree in the Garden of Eden, and they had every kind of tree in that garden. And God told Adam, you can eat of any tree, but in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat it from it. Is that correct? He said, leave it alone. Now, first of all, we need to establish something and understand something. We know that evil is the enemy of God, right? Huh? But do you know that good is the enemy of God? Y'all didn't get that. See, good, that somebody walked up to Jesus and said, good master, Jesus said, why do you say that I'm good? Jesus said, why do you say I'm good? There is none good but God. Huh? The old folks used to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Some of you sought to do something good and it backfired on you because it wasn't God. Do you understand? The problem with the word good, it has too many O's in it. That's why people walk around going, oh, because God's trying to purge that extra O out of you and get you from your good intentions and your good ideas and get you to God intentions and God ideas. Good intentions will cause problems. God intentions will bring miracles. And the enemy, we know that it goes, so evil is the enemy of good, and good is the enemy of better. And better is the enemy of best, but all of them are the enemy of God. Did y'all hear me? Because God is God all by himself. You either do it God way, Yahweh, or don't go hit the highway. So this is not Burger King, it's about the King of Kings. Somebody say amen. And so oftentimes, I thought it was good to do this. I thought it was good. No. Don't bring your good, bring God. Bring the God in you, not just the good in you. Because our good, the Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. That's your righteousness. What about your goodness? It's even worse. Your goodness is even worse because if your goodness is not lined up and intertwined and intertangled into the destiny of Almighty God for your life, then you have missed it. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. So I'm bringing you somewhere and I'm about to close because I know it's Sunday morning and I know, you know, the restaurants get full and some people got to get out of here. My man, he got his hands laid on him. I know he's ready to just go eat and celebrate. Yes, man. You know, hallelujah. But can you just give me just a second? Just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know I can now. Come on now. Don't do that. Don't be saying that. People be like, Lord, when are you going to stop? Lord, maybe his wife going to steal his glasses again. You see, I'm holding on to him tight. I got them tight. I'm protecting these glasses. Here, baby, you need the glasses. You know you can have anything you want. Here you go. All right. I don't need them anymore. You know, so God is bringing us to a place. So let me just give you some practical things that you need to do. Hallelujah. So that you're not functioning in good, but you're functioning in God. Is that okay? Amen. Number one, eliminate all of the voices. Somebody say, eliminate the voices. So that sounds so easy. But do you know that right now everything in here is speaking? Do you know right now your body is speaking, your soul and your spirit? When people come to me and say, I feel in my spirit, I say, go back and tell me what Holy Spirit said. I don't want to know what your spirit said, because your spirit might have been listening to Prophet Lie on the radio. I need you to come back to me and tell me what Holy Spirit said, what God said. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So everything is speaking. Your spirit and your soul kind of mirror each other on the opposite sides. Your spirit, you have all the senses, you know, you taste, see, feel, hear spiritually, right? And then on the natural side, you can taste, see, feel, hear, right? Got that, your body, you have your senses. Your body is your earth suit. It allows you to function in the earth realm, in the natural realm. Your spirit is your spirit suit, allows you to function in the spirit realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? I need you here. So watch this. But your soul is that place that the adversary is battling for. Because the soul determines if you're going to move by the flesh or by the spirit. But you don't want to just move by the spirit. How many of you know there's people out there moving by the spirit, but it's the wrong spirit? You know what I mean? So you got to move by God's spirit, by Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. So you know, and just to clarify, that's why I said taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the spiritual side, right? He said you have spiritual visions and sight. You have spiritual hearing. You can hear from God. You have spiritual feeling. I sense the presence of God. I can feel the presence of God. Amen. So all the senses that you have, that you know, you have it in the spirit and you have it in the soul. Now the thing is that all of those things are voices. Do you hear me? It's voices. It's speaking to you. What you see is speaking to you. It's telling you a story. Do you hear me?
Yes.
It's telling you a story. When you see someone, it's telling you a story. When you hear, it's telling you a story. When you feel, it's telling you a story. Right now, the temperature could be up, could be down, whatever, and it's going to speak to you. You're cold. It's hard for you to get comfortable right now. It's too hot. It's speaking. Do you hear me? When you drive out, everything out there is speaking. Every billboard, everybody's trying to get your attention. Everything is trying to get your attention. Do you hear me? So when you are dealing with God, you have to push aside all of the things. Your soul is your mind, will, emotions, and imagination. All of those are shaped by your perceptions and by the things that you've experienced both spiritually and in the natural. Do you hear me?
Amen.
You catch that? And so those things will influence you. And all those things are voices. Huh? So you're battling all the voices of your past, you're battling the voices of your present, and you're battling the voices that try to speak to your future to try to just hear the voice of God. Now recognize this. Again, your body is speaking. Everything is speaking. I have not mentioned the devil yet. Do you hear me? So a lot of what we deal with is just the voices that we're built with, that we've allowed to be shaped and trained over the years. You know, when you was called that name as a little kid, that voice still speaks to you sometimes. Some of you look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm so ugly, because little Johnny told you was ugly on the playground. Huh? That voice is still speaking to you. So there's all those voices of the past. All those voices are trying to get you to move out of the will of God. They are contrary to the will of God. Those voices are not, some of them could be evil, and some of them could be good, but they're all voices that speak. And they're not the voice of God. Do you hear me? And then when you get with your friends, you know, your friends have all those same voices. So when they counsel you, if they're not counseling you with the counsel of God, they're counseling you with the counsel of one of their voices or multiples of their voices. Do you get that? Anybody caught that? So when you go to somebody and say, pray for me, you make sure you emphasize, I need you to hear from God. I know that you're a financial expert, but I don't want to hear your opinion. I want God's word for me right now, what I'm supposed to do with this. Did you hear me? Because you get good advice, but it's not God advice. You know, people will give you good advice. Well, I think you should do this to help your marriage. I think you should do this to do this. I think you should do that to do that. I think because when I was going through this, stop. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. Stop. Pray. Hear from God. Tell me what God said. Do you hear me? Because it's other than that, it's just another voice. Again, I haven't even got to the voice of the little imps and the little devils that run around, and all you got to do is resist them, and they will flee. The weakest Christian is stronger than the biggest devil. They just don't know. Yeah, that's the weakest Christian is stronger than the biggest devil. I cast my first devil out when I was 10 years old. A real manifestation where this little girl picked up a Catholic priest and threw him down the steps. He ran down the street, didn't even get in his car to get away. Talking about foaming at the mouth, eyes rolling back, and I was a karate guy, right? So I was ready to do karate on the devil. You know, and the Lord said, why do you want to hurt her? In the name, say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out and never return. I said that, the girl fell on the ground, her eyes rolled back, and she came back to herself, and she was well ever from that point. Do you hear me? That was at 10 years old. Come on, say amen. And I'm not going to go into stuff that I've seen all around the world, because some of y'all be all shivering and stuff like that, so I'm not going to do that. I ain't trying to bring a scary movie to you. You know, because, but God is victorious in every situation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now I just want to say this to you as we close, as I bring you into a place. And then we allow the manifestation of the miracles of God to come forth. How many of you enjoyed this word so far?
Amen.
I hope and pray it's enough for me to be able to come back. Amen. So, yeah. Hallelujah. The only thing that has to happen is that you have to make up your mind and refuse to be refused and deny to be denied, hearing the voice of God. It is not hard, because God wants you to hear his voice. And he says, my sheep know my voice, and no other will they listen, right? So you're not intentionally not hearing God's voice, but there is loudness everywhere. Do you hear me? I mean, God's voice is competing with Guero Taco Bell. I mean, God's voice is competing with all the ads you've heard. You could probably sing songs from commercials better than you can sing songs. I'm just saying now. I'm not meddling. He was preaching, now he's going to meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just saying that we've got to hear the voice of God. And so scripture helps us to hear the voice of God. Amen? And sometimes it's hard to translate the scriptures to the practical daily life. But God will not leave us like that. He speaks to our heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He will speak to you, but it should be lined up with the word. Amen? But he will speak to you. He will tell you to turn right and turn left. He will tell you not to do and what to do. He will give you unction. He will move you if you just listen to his voice and not the voice of your body and not the voice of your spirit, but the voice of Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus Christ, the word of God, both Rhema and Logos. Amen? Amen. And now, I'm saying that to say, because God loves us. He wants to direct our paths. He wants to give us. But you know, one of the most important and beautiful things about God is that God's made provision for all of us who hear from our body and hear from our own spirit, our own soul dictating stuff, you know, and he's made provision. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Even if you got it wrong or something is trying to come at you, God has made provision for it to work out for you. Isn't that crazy? The steps of a good man are ordered of God. That, you know, he'll make the crooked path straight. Amen? We got a whole crooked path we designed, our whole plan for the rest of our life, and it's all crooked. You know, in our eyes, it looks straight, just straight road. And in the spirit, it's like, that thing is zagging and zigging. You know, and God said, I'm going to make the crooked path straight. Isn't that good? We have a good God. Amen?
Amen?
We have to stop and always pause and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Do you know that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all thought I was off message, right? I'm still speaking about the same thing. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. The Bible says he basically had great drops of blood, hematidrosis, where the blood was mixing with his sweat and dropping to the ground. And he's in great agony. He's asked the disciples to pray with him three times. They fall asleep on him. How many of you know that sometimes you ask people to pray with you and they fall asleep on you? Or they don't take the time to really hear from God and they speak from one of their voices. Their many voices. Huh? So, but sometimes you just got to get in your own garden, whatever it's called, and just pray and talk to God and hear God. Because Jesus, in that garden, he was looking at that he was going to have to be separated from God for a moment. He was looking at all these different things. I don't even think he was so worried about the torture as much as that moment of separation from God on the cross. Do you understand? I think that's what his battle was. And he prayed to God and he says, nevertheless, he said, if this cup could pass from me, if we could do it a different way, Dad. And Dad said, no, we can't do it a different way. He said, nevertheless, not my what? My will, emotions, imagination. Did y'all hear that? Not my will, but thy will be done. How is Jesus, the Son of the mighty living God, how is it that he is, when he says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. How is that his will in that moment is contrary to the will of God? This is the Son of God. But yet he says, not my will, thy will. This is the place that we must get for the miracle. Do you hear me? Because anything else, if he had done anything else, it would have been outside the will of God. He could have did a bunch of good stuff. He could have, when he said, I am he, and all the soldiers fell down, he could have ministered to them, got them all lined up to where the soldiers was found. He had enough anointing that he could have come. Man, do you know that that is power? They didn't come there trying to fall under the anointing. They didn't come there looking to fall under the anointing. The anointing violated their very strength, do you understand? And caused them to fall because the anointing that was upon him to say, I am he. They couldn't even withstand the power. He could have done a lot of good things from that. But he chose to do the God thing. Not my will, but thy will. Everybody stand to your feet. Today, I need you to move from how you thought God needed to give you your miracle. I think I need you to move right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, move from how you expected God to do it and then open and expand your understanding of who God is. Hallelujah. And believe God for the miracle that you've been waiting on. If you needed a miracle, matter of fact, my sister, can you play just a little music? Amen. I appreciate it. You're not going to miss out. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So right now, we're going to expand who he is. No longer will you function as Peter in the garden. I'm ready to blaze the trail for the Lord. But God moves different. He doesn't move like man moves. His ways are not man ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So he moves differently, and then you're flabbergasted. I really thought God was in this. I thought God was moving. Yet, well, he is. You just haven't opened up your perception of who he is. You're seeing the contents of the bottle as half empty, half full. You're seeing the good or the evil and not seeing God. And so now we move differently. I know the cameraman going crazy. I'm just all over. But got my head bowed head to the back of the camera and everything. Hallelujah. God is calling us to a place of miracles. To receive the miracles, we must shift from the Peter in the garden and the miracle of Malchus that caused him to lose it. Hallelujah. To the miracle of resurrection power, the miracle of Pentecost. the Peter that stood boldly and proclaimed, hallelujah. Whew. This is that the prophet Joel prophesied. Hallelujah! I'm no longer afraid to celebrate Jesus and to proclaim that I am with him. I'm no longer worried about the little girls who asked me, are you one that was with him? I'm not the Peter of the garden, but I'm the Peter of Pentecost. I'm the Peter who now I'm willing to die again for Jesus, but I'm willing to obey him and live. I need you to transition. Your miracles have been waiting on you to transition. God brought me all the way from where he brought me to stand here this morning to transition you into your place of miracles. And when you move into the place of miracles, you begin to gain enough faith that can be equivalent to a mustard seed, that the mountains that hold back anything in your life or anything in this church is moved. There is a miracle waiting for this body of believers right here. And we shifted to the place of believing and not just being just a Christian. Being a Christian is great, but being a believer is better. We shift right now. Shifting causes the body to exponentially increase on every level, physically, financially, emotionally, socially, in every single way. I see the floodgates of heaven open, and I see the miracles of God push into this place right now. I see the miracles of healing. I see the miracles. Financial miracles, healings in relationships, supernatural and special miracles, witty invention and ideas coming forth, land being handed over to you, the wealth of the wicked coming to you because it's laid up for you, but now it's flowing to you. It's no longer just laid up. It's moving towards you. It's chasing you down. Prepare yourself as you enter this place of miracles, signs, and wonders. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind. Block out every voice except the voice of God and hear him. It is great to hear what God said, but it's even better to hear what God is saying. I see it again. It's great to hear what God said, but it's even better to hear what God is saying. Abraham heard what God said. Go and sacrifice your son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Go and sacrifice your son. He took the sacrificial dagger as he hiked him up the road and hiked him up the mountain and laid him on a sacrificial slab. He held the sacrificial dagger up high, ready to obey God at all costs, ready to obey the voice of God and the will of God, the voice that told him to sacrifice his son. But yet in the midst of that, God spoke again and said, I have a ram in the bush. Had he not heard what God was saying, he would have killed his son. Some of us right now, it's time for us to shift so we don't kill the miracle. Hear what God is saying to you right now. Hear his voice. Right now, if you have an ailment in your body, especially if it's significant, if it's all right with the pastors, I will pray for those people. Amen. Is it okay? Amen. So come up if you are dealing with something, you have a diagnosis, you've been battling. Come on up there. Stand here with me. Danielle, come and stand here with me.